This is Greg Columbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Richard Benedetto. He is a former longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. He now teaches both politics and journalism at both American and Georgetown universities here in Washington. We want to get his thoughts on the results from Tuesday's midterm elections, as well as how he thinks President Obama handled the results in his press conference at the White House today. And Richard, it's always great to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Real quickly, just your thoughts on the results. You've been around Washington long enough to see party switches in one chamber, both chambers, depending on the political winds at the time. What do you make most of the fact that Republicans easily took the House but came up short in the Senate?
Well, I think that going in, we knew that it was an uphill climb to get the Senate, but knew the House was in range of possibility. Right up until the last weekend, the Democrats were trying to suggest that that they were coming back and that the House was savable. It proved not to be the case. That this was, as President Obama said in his press conference today, a real shellacking for the Democrats.
In terms of the lessons now, the president talked about how he clearly sees that Americans don't like where the economy is, don't necessarily see the results yet of his programs, but he really didn't regret anything that he'd done on specific issues, which voters in the exit polls seemed to regret very much.
Yes, right. I agree with you on that. In watching his press conference, he seemed to think that it was all voter frustration about the economy, and if the economy were doing better, he would have been, the Democrats would have been fine. But the fact of the matter is that it was a combination of things. I mean, I think that people were saying they didn't like the particular agenda he put forth. They didn't like the priorities he had in that agenda. They didn't like his one-party style of management. He'd never discussed that in the press conference at all. He talked about the need for cooperation and negotiation and compromise and coming to a meeting of the minds in this press conference, but the fact of the matter is that he really, really, really did not try very hard to get consensus, a word he used in the press conference several times, to get consensus with the Republicans with regard to his policies.
Obviously, most of the Democratic casualties were the so-called moderates or blue dogs, which leaves a smaller but probably more ideologically intact liberal caucus on the Democratic side. What do you believe that means for how the Democratic minority is going to be acting here moving forward, regardless of whether it's Pelosi or someone else as leader?
Well, I think that, the Democratic minority is going to be, decidedly more liberal than it had been. But the idea that, in the House, there's not much you can do when you're in the minority. As the Republicans found out for the last 4 years, when you don't have control of the House, you have no control of anything. The majority party can do pretty much all at once. Where all the fighting is going to go on this year is going to be in the Senate. And if Boehner decides that he's going to put forth legislation that he can pass in his House that has no chance of going forward in the Senate, where the rules are different, he's going to have to rethink that.
In terms of where the president goes from here, he talked about looking for common ground on certain issues. It seemed to a lot of folks that he might allow a full extension of all the Bush tax cuts rather than trying to let the ones expire for the wealthiest Americans. But overall, do you see him tacking to the center like Bill Clinton did after 1994, or is he more likely to stay planted where he is to the left of center?
Well, I didn't hear in the press conference anything that suggested that he might be tacking toward the center. He didn't sound like he did. He sounded like perhaps that his policies were being misunderstood. He probably didn't negotiate very well for them. But he seemed to think that his policies that he's proposed are the ones that the country should have. And he didn't show me, at least in the press conference, that he seemed to be tacking toward the center.
The other question, of course, that came up was health care, and he seemed to make a small concession on the paperwork component of the health care plan. But overall, is there any reason to think that after all the political oxygen that he spent over the last 2 years that he's willing to allow even minor repeals of some of the different parts of that bill?
No, nothing there in the press conference again. And he even issued a kind of a veiled threat in saying that the American people do not want to see this health care bill litigated, tied up in litigation. referring to the lawsuits that have been filed against the bill. He's very defensive about health care, even though it may have cost a lot of people their seats. It was a factor in the election, no doubt, as much as the economy, I think. I think the economy certainly set the tone for the election, but I think that there were a number of other things that people were voting on that went beyond the economy, and that was one that they didn't think that they were being listened to, especially with regard to the issue of health care, which many people said this is not the way to go. And they also had that immigration issue, which is out there, which we haven't talked about much at all, and didn't even come up, I don't think, in the press conference. But there's another issue that they felt as though the president was not listening to them, and so that a lot of Democrats, whom even some Democrats who I know, a Democrat in my upstate New York where I come from, a district who voted for the health care, against the health care bill, probably to be in more in line with his constituency, still lost.
Richard, in terms of split control of Congress, we saw it briefly in the early years of George W. Bush's term when Jim Jeffords switched parties. But before that, we have to go back to the Reagan years, and you were working in Washington at that time as well. When that happens, when there's divided control of the two chambers, and obviously the president's going to be the same party as one of those chambers in the majority, when things don't go well, how do the voters generally ascribe the blame?
Well, I think that it depends on what kind of an image you present. When Ronald Reagan had a split control of Congress and then lost complete control of Congress in 1986, but for his first 2 years, the years in which the economy was bad, and he got some legislation passed, especially his tax cut package, which proved to be a stimulus for the economy and brought it back. But the thing is, the image of Ronald Reagan sitting down at the White House and having friendly conversations with Tip O'Neill, Democratic Speaker of the House. We never saw that kinds of thing taking place with the Republicans and Barack Obama. Reagan knew he had to work with the other side and tried to work with the other side and never actually did. One of the reasons why Reagan was able to get his tax cuts through was that he was willing to and get his increased in defense spending, which Democrats were not particularly thrilled with, is he had to go along with some of their things. So they had to work it back out, hammer back and forth. So Reagan had to go along with some of the spending that the Democrats wanted that he wasn't particularly thrilled with. Obama doesn't just show that ability to want to do that.
Last question before we let you go, Richard. If the president doesn't moderate and come back towards the center on a lot of these key issues, is he basically banking on the unemployment rate and the overall economy just improving to the point where he can win?
I believe he is. I think he knows that, you know, we know that the economy is running cycles, and chances are very good that by 2012, the economy is going to be in pretty good shape by then, regardless of what we do in Washington to change it. And so he's banking on that, I think. And if it's good, you know, chances are that he's going to be reelected unless something else, some other catastrophic thing that we don't foresee comes along. But chances are he's going to be okay.
Well, no rest for the weary in our profession, Richard, because the 2012 cycle pretty much begins today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Okay, Greg, thanks.
Richard Benedetto, longtime White House reporter for USA Today, now teaches politics and journalism at both American and Georgetown universities here in Washington. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.